We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. Democratic memo. By golly, we were waiting for weeks and weeks for this thing to come out. What do you think, Jim? Were you excited to read it finally?
Well, you know, we kind of had a pretty much a good glimpse into what was going to be in it. Of course, they had all the redactions in it, and that was all done by design to put the blame on President Trump for delaying it or not being able to put it out. But it, you know, they're putting their spin on it now that basically says the rebuttal is the truth. But it really goes down, and they try to argue the Carter Page issue, and they just, you know, it's just drum beating a really limited argument from the standpoint there's really nothing there. And in itself, the memo overall is really an indictment against, you know, the Democrats, the DNC, Hillary Clinton, and certainly the Obama administration, because it showed the Democratic memo actually revealed kind of in a reverse way what was really going on. Certainly what Devin Nunes said in his, it pretty much qualified it.
Yeah. Susan, when you were a kid, did you ever play that game Pixie Sticks? You know, you throw the sticks all over the desk or the table and you pick them up.
Yeah,
you remember that game? Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's kind of what I look at with the Democratic memo. It's a game of Pixie Sticks, you understand? And what happened is, that's really what I see. And Adam Schiff, who is kind of a loose cannon, I guess. I think even the Dems know that, Jim, come on. And so I think he's sitting there with all the pixie sticks, and he's run out of moves. He's got, like, no moves left at all, okay? So now he's just pulling rabbits out of his you-know-what. And that's what I look at with that Democratic memo, Susan. There's absolutely no ammunition left.
That's what they do. Well, that's what they do, Malcolm. They try to accuse you of the very things that you're doing. So while you're busy defending yourself, they're over there crafting another, you know, plot.
Do you think Americans are onto this thing?
Oh, big time. I would say, you know, there's still a certain percent that are not, but I would say over half, maybe three quarters of Americans are onto this from everything that I've seen. And that's just my perspective. But I'm connected with so many patriots. I can tell you we're getting restless. We're getting very restless.
Well, you know what I'm wondering, too, is, Jim, I'm wondering this, is if, I mean, they're obviously playing a charade, a game of charades here, clearly. It's like that's another way to look at this thing. They're in a room, Jim, of a lot of people, and they're sitting there, and the guy's up there doing, Adam Schiff, let's say he's the guy up there, and he's doing all these charades, and, oh, can you guess what I am today? Can you guess what this is? What do you think this is? You know, and you really kind of never figure it out, but it's like a game of smoke and mirrors. So there was nothing that anybody can see. Like, it was the biggest pop and sizzle, Jim, this Democratic memo. Nothing became of it. They didn't even rebuke what was in the official memo that came from the committee, the first memo, which created, that was the big deal, obviously. So this is their bad attempt at trying to have a rebuttal then, I guess, Jim. Is that it?
It's a horrible attempt. In
right,
fact,
exactly.
With all the discourse and all the different pointing the finger at the mainstream media, you know, Trump does it every day, telling everyone they're fake news.
Right.
They cannot help themselves, because if you look at the headlines of all the major mainstream media news outlets, you know, U.S. News and World Report yesterday's headline on it was Schiff's memo nails the coffin for Nunez.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And you read that, it says, House Intelligence Democratic Russian memo finishes off Nunez. And everybody knows, you know, even the most strident liberal knows
exactly.
That's not the case. And so the memo was such a piece of garbage. And it's almost as if the mainstream media is the cavalry coming to the rescue, trying to help them out. But they're just putting down. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at all the major headlines of the mainstream media. And, you know, you just read them off as like Democrat rebuttal to Nunez memo, finally released,
yeah.
Brings an end to him. And you read all these and you look at, I mean, if you didn't know it was fake news, you would be wondering, this isn't even close to what Nunez presented a couple of weeks ago, but the mainstream media is going out of its way to try to make it sound like, you know, Nunez and the committee, it is on its ass.
I just wonder.
That's just not the case.
I just wonder when the tipping point really happens to this thing. I just wonder when people really. I mean, I'm talking all of it, like with the, like as you're just mm-hmm. talking about the media in the tank, and the way they play the charade all along and all of this. Hey, listen, another big hot story. We'll come back to that memo a little bit later in the show, but I want to talk to you about South Korea. They're pushing for talks here now with North Korea and the U.S. of course. Jim, you've been watching this story pretty closely. What do you think happens with this? Obviously, North Korea has been playing this game for over 20 years. I mean, I think everybody's aware of what the charade is. I mean, is anybody not buying this? This is about as big of a charade as the Adam Schiff memo.
Well, it's always going to be a charade with North Korea. They use the tactic of sitting down and meeting as a delay tactic. You know, they're continuing to try to buy time, whether it's for
it's all time.
Continuing their weapons program.
Yeah.
These kind of talks, it's been years since we've had talks with North Korea, but you know, there's no real intent behind the talks to accomplish anything.
That's exactly
put it this
it.
Way.
Exactly
North Koreans are not going to sit there and say, okay, shutter our nuclear program for the sake of peace. That's
not
going to happen.
It's not their
game. Not their game, and nor can they afford to do it. Their only leverage is to try to get a nuclear weapon, and just like Iran, they are going to do whatever it takes to get a nuclear weapon. They may get their country blown off the map, and I don't mean even nuclear-wise. I mean, conventionally, we can pretty much level North Korea, certainly
right.
Pyongyang, in a matter of hours. And they know that.
Well,
they know that.
They're bad actors. I mean, North Korea and Iran, Jim, are probably two of the worst bad actors on the planet, clearly. Susan, do you think, your gut now, tell me, you hear Colonel Jim talk here about this North Korea business here. Your gut on this, Susan, do you think, how does this end with North Korea? You hear him say about wiping them off the map. He's not talking nuclear, just regular conventional forces or whatever. But where does this really end with North Korea, you think, and Kim Jong-un? Do you think finally, I mean, is the key to take him out as the crazy man and get that regime the hell out of there?
Some
people, by the way, let me just add this, and we'll get Jim to comment on this after too, Susan. Some people are thinking that the military in North Korea are going to take him out.
From what I see, hear, and feel, I think this man, this guy, he doesn't know what forces he's messing with, and I think he is going to go down. I can't tell you when.
Exactly.
Maybe sometime this year. If not by his own people, by those of us that are tired. He's a tyrant. And
He
does to his own people, it just goes against anything that's human.
Yeah, tyrant is a soft adjective. Come on, certainly you have something better than that. You got something better than that, Susan.
Evil.
Come on.
That's evil. There's so much evil out there, though, Malcolm. And he's an example.
Well, I just said, if you're talking North Korea and Iran, there's two of the worst actors on the planet. I mean, come on, Susan.
Right.
So it doesn't get any worse than these cats. I mean, these are really, ground zero for... people we've got to contend with. I want to come back more and talk about that North Korea after, Jim, because I have my own speculation as I was talking about the military and all on that. Another big, big hot story today you two might have seen is the Supreme Court ruled on DACA. They went ahead and they didn't play with Trump and the appeal to end the DACA, keeping it in play. And of course, everybody's out celebrating that. Jim, real quickly, what are the ramifications of that before we pause here? What do you think?
I think it's going to embolden Trump to, you have to understand the way of Washington and how these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a surprise. It's certainly not a surprise for Trump to know how the Supreme Court was going to come down on this. When that case went before the court and they reviewed it and they did their analysis of it, word obviously got back to the Trump administration and where they were going to come down. So I don't believe it was a surprise. And he anticipated that.
Right.
But, you know, just like the other, you know, there are other shortfalls, particularly with the Ninth Circuit Court on his efforts to vet and keep different countries from bringing their refugees here.
Yeah.
It's just a, the way I look at it is, you know, this is an effort to embolden him. He anticipated it.
Right.
I'm waiting for, if it hasn't come out already, his tweet on that. And
we got to go look. We got to go look.
I get back, you know, I always talk about Trump's strategy and his doctrine and how he does things.
Right.
When he gets set back or there's shortfalls for him, he sees them as small victories,
right,
because he can now argue and debate debate, but he knows he has a strategy. To
well,
come
you've
around.
Always said that
Trump is going to win in the end,
yeah,
because the way he works is he has done his homework, so to speak, long before. And I talked to a lot of people at this. If he doesn't think he's going to win a battle or a fight, he doesn't engage in it. He may wait and delay and see how the tea leaves fall out.
Yeah.
6 months, 8 months, a year later, before he reengages on it. So, you know, I think this will be maybe a delay, but they're not ready. I mean, we still have another several weeks.
Well, it's all political. It's all political. Clearly,
it's all political.
It's all it is, man. The same thing with the Ninth District Court. It's all political with all of that. Listen, we'll pick more of that up afterward here, as well as the gun control push. This is one of the biggest stories in the nation. Here's the gun control push. Also, some other interesting things trending this afternoon here with Kevin Smith and Heather Locklear and some other interesting people around. Hey, Susan, take 15 seconds, please, and describe yourself, please, to folks.
I'm a National Gold Star mother of a fallen American Marine hero. I'm an American patriot, a veteran. I love our country, and I just am so grateful to be a part of America Out Loud so that we can get whatever's going on in the world behind the scenes out there to other Americans.
We can flush it out.
Yeah.
We can flush. That's what we do on NASA. Right. We turn the faucet, Susan, and we flush it out, love. That's it. That's it. We turn the NASA, flush that baby out, I got to tell you. Well, America Out Loud is happy to have you for sure here. Colonel Jim, take 14 seconds, please, and tell us about yourself.
I'm a retired U.S. Air Force colonel, spent about 30 years in the military and continue to do national security consulting, do a lot of work with the Republican political party as far as advising, consulting, do a lot of media work in the same vein. And it's great to be a patriot working with people like Malcolm and Susan and all the great orators and experts on America Out Loud.
Amen. Yeah, it's a good thing. More nozzle in a minute, people. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple.
Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Today I was looking online and I had a few minutes, and something that greatly disturbed me was to see a video of the Broward County Sheriff Mazhar Hamzi teaching Muslims at a neighboring mosque about their Second Amendment rights. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, you have the mainstream media and others trying to take American rights away from us regarding anything on the postings of what went on at the school shooting in Broward County, and de-Americanizing us by the day with our Second American rights, going after the NRA and others of us that believe in our Second Amendment rights. So that's kind of blatant in your face, and it really ticks me off to no end.
Yeah, there's a lot that seems to be flushing out, Susan, with Broward County that doesn't look really, really good right now with that sheriff out there, Israel. You've been following that story now with Sheriff Israel?
Yeah. Yes, and there's more too, Malcolm, because wherever there's stuff to do with drugs, there's arms, there's human traffic. It's the whole enchilada, and you can bet it's all starting to show itself online with, especially my Patriot group of friends. A lot of them do radio and write, and they've written books, and everybody's just, we're brazen with, you know, we want President Trump to get going and put these people in prison and start, you know, calling them out by name and going after them.
So. Well, one of the themes this president has had, Jim, since he took office, clearly, is the swamp business. You know, who could imagine the swamp was this wide, deep, and far? But when Susan says, well, we just want to hurry up and start cleaning it up, it seems like the mischievous folks there are working overtime. But, I mean, it's there's a scam a second. I mean, not a minute. There's a scam a second, it seems, here. You can't keep up with it all here. Jim, what's your take on Broward County and Sheriff Israel and what's happened there? What do you gather out of that? What's your gut tell you?
Well, certainly I think by the end of the week we're going to see Israel removed. And there's going to need to be, and the same with his deputy, as Susan was mentioning, that's created a lot of problems, I think. And I've seen that video. I believe there's another one as well. When that gets seen by the citizens, not only of Broward, of Florida, but across Florida and even the U.S., you know, they're going to be calling for his removal. I think Governor Scott is aware of that. Of course, he's got an investigation going on by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And you're going to probably see the Florida Department of Law Enforcement maybe take over that sheriff's department, at least temporarily, until they determine what's going on, because there's obviously some internal problems. And you know, and then you know, people are being fed by a lot of other stories where, you know, they were told to stand down. I've talked to a couple people who have said they think that maybe this young man was allowed or brought in because they knew of his record and they didn't do anything, because the radical left, who is so incessant on gun control, wanted to create a situation. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist person, but there's that potential to be a story there. And, you know, we're going to see what happens when they, you know, finish investigating and talking to this young man. If they're going to determine if he's mentally able to stand trial. Yeah. Or at least mentally able to say why he did what he did, and who was, if there was anybody behind it. It's kind of interesting he was able to get so many weapons. I'm a prominent Second Amendment person. I'm all for that. Now let me add one other real quick thing here. The the gun industry, when since Trump got elected, people felt comfortable. It's okay.
Exactly.
You can go buy a gun anywhere. The gun shows, there was one in Tampa this weekend. It was jam-packed. They were saying there were multiple gun shows. Just coincidentally, being held in Florida, they were scheduled around the, around the state, and they saw record numbers of people because people are fearful.
Right. That's what happened when Obama was in office.
Exactly.
I think the AR-15 is probably going to have record sales in the weeks ahead here, guys. Don't you think? Because they think that's a possibility
probably.
That could be banned, Susan. So
and ammo.
And ammo, yeah.
Ammo's important, as Jim mentioned.
Well, I think so.
Definitely.
It'll be record sales, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I wanted to mention, Malcolm, before you switched over and we talked about the kid at the school, get back to that guy, that sheriff.
Sheriff Israel?
Nizar Hamzi.
Oh.
The other one that he appointed, Israel appointed this Sheriff Nizar Hamzi, who was teaching the Muslims.
So he appointed
him. This guy is connected. Yes, he appointed him.
Yeah, and he's a sheriff, Nizar Hamzi. He's teaching Muslims at neighboring mosque about the Second Amendment rights. Now, I just pulled a video up, by the way. And what is the video?
Right.
It's only 40 seconds. What does it actually show, Susan? Do you know?
It's showing Nizar teaching the Muslims right there, and if you listen, he says, "I'm here to teach you how to defend yourself, because the Second Amendment right enables you. You have the right. This is your right."
Susan, it's only 40 seconds. I'm going to play it right now.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
Yeah,
here.
Play it. I'm going to add to it.
I'm shooting you, and I'm killing you, and everyone is just looking at what I'm doing. That's real.
Oh, this happened in Tampa, Florida, too.
So if you're dealing with a threat,
this was a mosque in Tampa. Wow.
Yes.
You're able to conceal in the state. It's your Second Amendment right. So I want to go over some things with you regarding your right to return fire.
To return fire.
It's important. And we need to know our rights, and that's what my job is, to make sure you know your rights.
Wow. So he's in a mosque
there. What do you think about that?
Well,
this is what I wanted to add to that. I want to add this important fact. This guy that was appointed, he's a Muslim, and who appointed him was Israel, and Israel is a Palestinian sympathizer. And I also wanted to mention that, you know, this is the grassroots set up by George Soros, this CARE, which is part of the Hezbollah, okay? And that ties in to Hillary and Obama, because we already know that there's a tight niche with this group. These guys have been seen with Hillary and with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Their whole area is infested, and we're just seeing the beginning layers of what's coming up. So every day I learn more from what's coming out from people that I
Area. I'm seeing on many of the trending topics and stuff too today, this afternoon, guys, and I'm seeing on Twitter says, Mr. Bo Snerdly, Twitter name, I guess, I love you, but please stop putting these people on the air who are clueless about police procedures. We do not wait for backup in an active shooter situation. I mean, come on, Jim. I mean, that's kind of sums it up right there. I mean, in other words, it's all this talk about, you know, because what they're uncovering now is that beside the one guy we know about, there are Peterson, I think his name is. Was it Peterson, guys, I believe? Yeah, Scott Peterson, the officer. Yeah. They're saying three or four others who did not take command of this situation, who waited several minutes as the kids were being blown away. What do you think becomes of this? First of all, do you get the feeling we're starting to hear multiple reports now? So once there's a lot of smoke there, it sounds like this could be true, Jim, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. With I believe three officers who did not respond. They waited up to 6 minutes.
Wow.
And
the whole thing was only 7 minutes, wasn't it, Jim? Or something, 6-7 minutes
right,
of the whole thing?
Right. Yeah. 7 minutes altogether.
Yeah.
And the point is, when the gun firing is going, you don't stand down. You approach and engage, and that's
the
problem.
Concept. So, that's the concept.
That's the concept. That's how it's done. I've got a son-in-law who is a police officer who is on the Tampa SWAT team, and he will tell you, you know, whoever is on the scene, as if there's gunfire going on, this isn't a hostage situation where they're trying to wait it out, where he may have somebody held. This young man was engaged, and regardless of his mental state, you have to proceed and engage as quickly as possible to take him out to stop the bloodshed, and that did not happen in this case. And of course, they got video of that. There's other evidence that indicates that they were told to wait, which is, you know, most police officers who know how to do this kind of stuff will tell you that's not how you. There are different situations, but when you have an engaged shooter, you have to go after them immediately.
If
you
we don't
wait,
do that,
you don't hesitate.
Jim, if we're not going to do that, then we might as well just hang a sign up. We're back in the Wild Wild West. I mean, because let me tell you, that's what's happening. I mean, this whole scenario of anybody saying, you know, if that's their answer back, if that's their, you know, alibi or their reason why, then forget about it. Because don't you think all the bad cats are looking at this situation right now? And if they think the police are going to stand down in every kind of situation, well, that kind of empowers all these criminalized individuals or these nut jobs out there to just engage people.
I worry about the police departments in cities around the country where you already have a Democratic left wing city council or elected officials, mayors, who will encourage and enforce their local rules of engagement at the police department or sheriff's department or town to do just this, for the reason which we suspect possibly in this case, where they can have a situation where people get blown away, and then they can come back, and this feeds to the anti-gun crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, the anti-gun crowd is not looking at the police department ROE. They're strictly looking at the standpoint of we need a situation to justify gun control, and they don't want to see the police engaged. I hate to say it, you know, and we talked earlier, this is all about people being evil. They are just as evil as those perpetrating the crime. They love to see people dying because it feeds their political views and it pleases their political agenda. I guarantee you there are people who are saying more and more and more of this because we will be able to use that if it's not Columbine, if it's not another school shooting or a mall shooting or a movie theater.
Right.
They look for this. They need this because this gives them this justifies.
Well, I think there's some truth to that, Susan, because obviously this is an opportunity. They look at it as an opportunity, is what Jim's saying, to sell their agenda.
Up. Exactly. And this is another thing is a lot of people, they just can't believe they lost this election. They've worked for many years doing this, propelling this agenda behind the scenes, and along comes Donald Trump. How dare him take their plan and agenda 30 plus years and run it into the ground? This was their plan. And so, and Trump is countering everything. So you better believe it. So people like Rahm Emanuel, and what about what's going on in California with the thousands and thousands of criminals to be released from the jails and set out into the wild?
When does that happen, Susan? Do you know?
Any day now, I think today or tomorrow.
And tell us about that story, Jet Moonbeam there. What's he doing here? So by releasing thousands of these, what's the game plan on this? What is the reason?
Well, it's going to cause utter chaos. You know, these people are going to go around killing and raping and maiming. There's going to be so much chaos already, not just to our country, but in the California area. That's an Agenda 21 state as it is. And so feeding, like Jim said, these people, a lot of them are Luciferians. They have underground stuff going on there. Yeah.
So what I'm still understand, what is the purpose? Why is he releasing these people? Beside the fact that it's an agenda, we get all that, but why is he legitimately?
He's saying there's no room in the jail.
I see. No room in the jails. But, wow. But there's room on the streets, right? Yeah. Right, Jim? I mean, speaking of which, what's going on with California, guys? I mean, I'm not getting a warm and fuzzy that's going to be turned around anytime soon. In fact, there are a lot of folks like Dr. Ron Martinelli, Linda Martinelli, others on our platform who've written quite extensively about California and the politics out there. In fact, it was so bad out there, guys. They moved out of the state just recently, moved to Texas. They loved the area, but they just couldn't take the politics out there anymore. So they left the state. And they just, in fact, Dr. Ron just put one of his recent write-ins a couple of weeks back, went viral with us, was a big story about California is a third world country. Did you see that article on the platform?
Yeah, I did.
It was a big one. What I wonder with California, when do the people of California stand up and say enough is enough? When does that happen, guys? I mean, when does that really happen? I mean, the citizens out there can't be happy, Jim.
I think those people have already left.
Now the criminals are running the island.
Most of them, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I run into them all the time. And I was, you know, last year I was out in Texas and I took a few weeks and I went up to the Hill Country.
Right.
Very beautiful. And you know, I stopped in coffee shops and bars and restaurants and I was talking to people in small shops and some of the nice little quaint towns there. And that's one of the things a lot of people told me was there are people from California who are selling their little shoebox home for $1 million+ and they're coming to Texas and they're buying a 15-acre ranch for $300,000 or $400,000 and living pretty comfortably. And these are some of the left who are leaving, but they're coming to Texas and then they're sitting around and they're getting involved in local politics and school boards and city councils, and they're bringing their politics with them. And the locals in Texas who have been there don't like it. Of course, you have a lot of conservatives who are leaving there at the same time because they're just fed up with California politics. But, you know, it's the same up north. It's the same in the Midwest. You know, in the states that have high taxes. And
yeah, but none are as bad off as what we're seeing and what's happening in California. Yeah,
but
that's really bad from what
I'm
hearing. And I got a lot of friends out there. I mean, I love the area out there.
Well, let me answer your question real quick. You saw this over the weekend.
Right.
Dianne Feinstein, the Democrats don't even want her.
I see that.
Now,
I saw that. Let's talk about
that.
What's going on with that?
Trying to figure what's that about.
I think if I remember the story right, Jim, about 54-55% were against her in the Democratic Party, huh? That's called a majority, buddy. You know? Yeah. So do you think are these her end days? Do you think Diane's at her end? What's she like, 107 now or something? 108? 107, 108? Jim, I forget. What is it? Something like that.
I don't know her age offhand.
I mean, again,
she's been
there
forever.
Yeah, forever is a long time. And they don't leave Washington until they're in an oxygen tank and a wheelchair, guys. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean,
come on.
You know?
Right.
But I think she's up there. Well, again, but it looks like this may be her last hurrah. You think that's possible or what? Or you think she holds off?
It'll be interesting to see, you know, what the Republicans or conservatives do, whether they can maneuver a candidate in there.
I got to tell you, Jim, I forget all the time that Devin Nunes is from California. It's almost easy to forget You know what I mean? It's like, where's he from? Yeah, it's California. I mean, so it's like they don't exactly. In fact, somebody predicted the other day to me that California will probably never have another Republican governor. And the last being Ronald Reagan, the last great governor out there, probably will never happen again. Hey, by the way, on on social media this afternoon, guys. By the way, I want to tell you, we were talking about Sheriff Israel earlier there. Yeah. Hashtag is right. Playing out there now. Hashtag resign Sheriff Israel. Jim just predicted he doesn't think he'll make Friday or by Friday. I'm not sure how long he'll make,
right.
Jim, but there's a hashtag resign Sheriff Israel, and get a load of this, guys. Right. There's photographs of him circulating on the internet with Sheriff Israel shaking hands with Hillary Clinton.
I know. I told you. Right.
Isn't that like shaking hands with the devil herself?
Yeah.
Well, you said that earlier, Susan. I guess you were right. But that's like shaking hands with the devil herself, maybe. I don't know. But he's right there doing it. And now resigned Sheriff Israel. So it looks like it's obviously that was a botched job. If there ever was a botched job, I mean, this is not going to be a moment of honesty and truth to Broward County. And this man is tainted, and he's got blood on his hands there, as far as I can see. And if this story continues to develop, I'll tell you this both right now. If this continues to develop where those sheriffs did not go in as those kids were being blown away, I got to tell you right now, if I was a citizen of that community, I got to tell you right now, you talk about a war, Susan and Jim, I would be over there torching the sheriff's office down. On that note, more nozzle in a minute here.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Because in March, we're going to see some information come out from the State Department. We're going to see the DOJ IG's report.
So when does that come out, really, Jim? When does that come out?
I believe about mid-March.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard a couple different dates, and then we're going to see another report probably come out in late March or April from the intelligence community, from the things that they have been looking at, what they've been finding.
Okay, but here's the deal.
We got a series of three or four reports that are going to be coming out
in the next 60 days.
You're saying back even more.
Yeah, the next 6 weeks, next 60 days, something like that. You're saying, but listen, Jim. I got to tell you, what are they going to do? I mean, all right, listen, if you look right now at the way they're acting, the way Adam Schiff and the way the Democrats are acting, and then like you pointed out earlier in the show here about a lot of the media outlets now and the way they're handling this situation and the way the smoke and mirrors is playing out. And with all of that said, and with all this happening now, I got to think that, you know, as far as the bones being buried and trying to undig these bones up, I got to think that these people are all going to get one-way tickets to another country or something. There's got to be a mass exodus on the airlines or something. I mean, what are they going to do? Sit here and take their hits? I mean, how many tricks can Adam Schiff and company pull off is what I'm asking you.
Well, you have to understand what's going on, and I'll just use the DOJ as an example. The DOJ is a large, large organization, 110,000 employees, staffers, and attorneys, and you know, we've just seen the tip of the iceberg with the leadership that's been called out in various different ways and what they've been doing. But as this is all going on, this is why I continue to defend Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He's doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes that I don't believe needs to be brought out. There is detective work going on internally in the DOJ, and you got to realize a lot of these attorneys that are there and a lot of the staffers have been there for 8 years plus. They're almost Obamaites because they're there for a reason. But now, you know, it's good detective work when you separate different groups and you bring them into a room and you start asking them questions, they start pointing fingers because they don't want to indict themselves. So this is what's going on. There's a lot of internal questioning and things going on. I'm sure there's a lot of criminal referrals and what have you that are below the surface, but these are the people who work for the senior officials, and those senior officials know on a daily basis who knows what they've been doing and what they've been up to over the last 8 years. And so what you're going to see is you're going to start seeing people turning on each other, so to speak, or saying, well, I didn't know this, but so-and-so knows it. Well, I was told to do this, but so was so-and-so. And so
you think it's going to be the game of the last man standing then, huh? That's the game that's going to be played.
I believe so. It's going to be that. You're going to see. This is why Sessions and Trump just didn't go in there and clean house, because if they went in there and cleaned house, none of this would have come out.
I see.
You would never heard any of this. It would have all gone away.
General Custer's last stand then, I guess.
So I think you're going to see this here. You're going to see it in the State Department. You're going to see it in the intelligence community. And like I always said, Trump's mandate was not to come in and clean house. His mandate was to fix America. Right. And he had to spend his first year and doing a really, really good job, 93% conservative rating, 50% overall rating with what he's getting done, higher than any president, or at least Republican president. And so that was his mandate, if not his own self-imposed
mandate.
Yeah,
but here's the thing, Jim. If our prisons are already this full, what are we going to do with all these people? How many people are going to get locked up here, you think? I mean, if they're already that full.
I guarantee, you know, this all points to two or three people.
Yeah, we know where that goes, and, right? I don't know. I think, and you think they're going to all save their own hind at the end of the day, their own hiney, huh? And, turn evidence.
What are they going to do?
Hey,
Comey or me or Hillary or me or Obama, I'm not going to go to jail for them. I'm going to say, you know, I'm convinced. And I mean, there's talk of reinvigorating the Benghazi investigation.
Oh,
God only knows that what will come out of there.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think the next two or three years is going to be, this is draining the swamp. This is the way it's
I got to tell you both, there are more investigations in play. I've been talking about this like for so long now, but there are so many investigations happening. In fact, that's all they do to make themselves important in Washington, is they're not there to legislate. They're there to act like investigative reporters, you know? I mean, think about it. I mean, that's all they do. You know, I've got a business proposition for both you, Susan, and Jim, and myself. I think if we go in a three-way program here, here's what we should do. I think we go and we buy an island somewhere. I don't know where this island is, Jim, but I'm sure you can find one somewhere with a good real estate firm. I think we buy an island somewhere, guys. We literally buy the island out. And then we get one of the airlines to go back and forth and we do trips. And then we sell tickets at a premium price to a lot of these libtards who want to go live on an island somewhere, who want to get away because they're going to be locked up. I think we could call the island Libtard or something. Wouldn't that be nice? It's a great idea. I think we make some money. Those would be premium tickets, by the way. Premium tickets, you know? Yeah. So we'll get your ticket out of the country to the Libtard Island here, and you can live there forever, yeah. I wonder where this is all going to go with all the corruption is so unbelievable. Susan, you talk about this all the time. I mean, you talk about this, like, deep state, like, in a unbelievable way. You're pretty convinced that the fan is not going to be able to handle the amount of shit that's coming its way, huh?
Well, you know, I believe in President Trump and the American people, and I think that we'll all support one another. But this, like Jim said, this has been going on a long time, and we have good people in there as well digging through. I have friends that are working in some of these groups, and they've been working for years because we knew that Obama would be out and that we'd have somebody in there, and we are gathering facts. So like Jim said, the low-hanging fruit, they're all talking, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. But in the meantime, we just have to keep our calm, keep our cool. And I know there's militia groups that are keeping watch. Boy, they're not letting nothing get by them. That's why the internet is inundated with news and information. They're keeping it alive. Americans are keeping this story alive.
Well, it's
they're not going down.
Yeah, I mean, it's massive. Whatever's happening with all of this, it is absolutely massive. So, all right, so the gun control push, final word on the gun controls. I want to get into a couple of other things that are hot this afternoon here. But, Jim, do you predict anything becomes of this gun control thing, or do you think it just sort of... Because, listen, after every... Back to never letting a crisis go to waste. After every crisis like this, it's hot for a few days, a week or two, maybe, and then it just sort of fades. And the longer, the more distance we get from the actual crime and the incident itself to current day... the more people's memories are very short in this country, and then we forget all of the bloodshed and the horrificness, and it's a pretty sad state of affairs. What happens with the whole...
I think we may see some local legislation to tighten things up, maybe tighter background checks, which is fine with me. As far as the guns themselves and what have you, the biggest advantage the NRA and the pro-gun movement and Second Amendment movement have going is the left can't figure out the nomenclature for guns in the first place. I saw one group the other day calling for the banning of automatic weapons. Well, I'm here to tell you, do your history and do your math. The automatic weapons have been banned in America since the 30s.
Right.
So they can't even get their facts straight on understanding of what high capacity magazines are versus
semi-automatic.
The term assault rifle. Well, automatic and the term assault rifle in itself really isn't anything, let alone what an AR-15 is. They have no clue what it is. And so until these groups get their facts together and understand what's going on and what's the difference between a regular, 30-06 long rifle and an AR-15, nothing other than what it looks like. And the looks of a gun doesn't make it any more dangerous than the bullet that comes out of it. It's the bullet that comes out of it, but it's the person who's doing it.
It's always is.
And yes, I think we'll see some good things come about with regard to background checks and mental health. But as far as...
Well, that's always been a problem in this country. Mental health has always been a big... Sure. They talk about it all the time.
People like Jim and I and you and others are teaching them, look it, don't you see? Connect the dots. This is what's going on, the layers of corruption. This is connected to this.
Right.
This is, you don't need to think it's a conspiracy. The conspiracy is that there is no conspiracy. It's truth, what's going on.
Hey, you guys, also trending this afternoon here, Kevin Smith. You know who Kevin Smith is, right? I mean, the actor, comedian there. You know who I'm speaking about, Kevin Smith, yeah? He had a heart attack, a massive heart attack, by the way. He's in a hospital this afternoon. That's trending on social media this afternoon, guys. Do you know who I'm talking about, Kevin Smith, you guys? Or do you know?
A little bit.
Sure,
wow,
so.
Both of you don't. You don't follow this guy. Okay, cool. Not really Hollywood cats, I guess, you know. You know Heather Locklear?
No, I'm done.
You know Heather Locklear?
I'm done with the Hollywood thing.
You know Heather Locklear?
Yes,
you know that actress?
Yes.
Yeah, she was arrested overnight. She's trending this afternoon, too. She's arrested for domestic violence and battery on a police officer.
Wow.
That's trending this afternoon. That happened yesterday, by the way, and that's trending today as well. So she was arrested for domestic violence, and they put the mugshot of her up, and I got to tell you, she looks like one rough bitch. I mean, one rough gal there, you know, from the picture that I could see in the mugshot. She, without her makeup, she looks like a rough gal, man. I got to tell you, man, without that Hollywood makeup, you know, it's pretty rough. But she tried to beat up a police officer yesterday, so I guess her acting days are sort of not going too well. And then, hey, have I... She's what?
She's getting up there in age, too.
Well, I mean, we're all getting a little older as every day moves forward, but you can still look good. I mean, you don't have to look like, you know, death warmed over, Susan, right? I mean, come on, you know? I mean, come on, look at me. I'm 93, and I still look pretty good, Susan. I mean, come on, you know? Hey, have either of you been to Rome before? Rome?
I have not.
No? Jim, you been there?
Just passed through really quickly.
Yeah, I was there. Was there a couple times. It's really a great place. Well, guess what? They had it first time in like 6 years. Very, very rare for Rome. They had snow.
Heard that.
Today. Today. And I see the Colosseum and all the snow on it. I seen that Colosseum live. I've seen the whole Rome is really very interesting. A lot of Europe is that way, really. But yeah, they got snow. And it looks really, really beautiful, actually, just looking at it. And it's not natural to see snow there, you know what I mean? It's kind of interesting. And also, we're talking about, we got to see what happens with Sheriff Israel, Jim, but I got to want to tell everybody as well that the kids are returning for the first time to the school there in Parkland, guys. Do you know that's in the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School? They are just returning now for the very first time back to that school. That's got to be pretty traumatic. And they're going to start, I don't know when they're starting, but they're knocking that whole building down where this happened at. $23 million. I understand it's going to cost $23 million to knock that building down and build something else. $23 million. I'm just wondering if they pay me the $23 million, I'll go over and knock it down for $23 million. That's a lot of cash to do whatever, man, you know.
Lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of bucks. But, Evan, the kids, that's got to be traumatic for the kids. How do you ever get over something like this, guys? I mean, I don't know that you do, right?
You don't get over it.
I mean, you talk about PTSD.
The children, right.
I mean, it's got to be PTSD, you know? I mean, also, Monica Lewinsky's in the news somewhat. I don't know. You remember Monica Lewinsky, man? That poor lady got a rap and a half, I'll tell you. You got to be careful who you're willing to give a blowjob to. I mean, have some sort of oral sex with in the White House, I think. But she says she's announcing why she supports the Me Too movement. Yeah. All right. So the Me Too movement. So is that a good thing or a bad thing with all of this Hollywood stuff, guys?
Well, if you understand the whole ordeal with the Me Too movement, it's really a liberal democratic movement, and it's got a lot of shortcomings and problems with it because it's not designed to protect women. It's designed to go after males, primarily white males. So it's one of these social engineered programs that the left likes to use all the time. And they come up with this sophisticated plan and they get everybody.
Let's tell folks what the sophisticated plan is.
It's got ulterior motives to what it's supposed to sound like on the front.
You're right. You know what the sophisticated plan is that Colonel Jim's talking about here? They put pink vagina hats on their heads. That's it. That's what they do. That's the whole plan.
Yeah,
I'm just talking the facts, Susan. What?
Yeah. And I saw that there were some girls that went to a prom dressed in gowns like that. It's just, it's just such an insult.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We've talked about this on Life Liberty, Susan. I mean, they're nuts. I mean, instead of women coming together and supporting each other, they have two different marches. And of course, the media doesn't talk about the March for Life march, Jim. They don't want to talk about that, Susan. We don't want to put any publicity on that, kids. But they certainly go over there with the vagina hats and they play all over that one. Hey, and by the way, you got to love this. They're always after the Trump family for one thing or another. And you got to love this story. So Ivanka Trump says it's inappropriate to ask her about her father's sexual misconduct allegations. Every time the lady's in front of a mic, they want to talk to her about President Trump and his sexual misconduct or what have you. So she comes out and she says, and these are her words, guys. You gotta love her demeanor, though, don't you? She's so interesting.
I love her.
I seen her over the weekend on a couple of talks, Susan, and the way she's like, they get so like nasty in her face, and she's so poised. She steps back, and she reminds me in many ways like you, Susan. You don't rattle her cage. She's a lady. Well, she's kind of like you because you can't really piss on your tulips because you're not going to let somebody do that. I always call that when you get somebody riled up. Don't piss on my tulips, okay? But with you, you're like sort of like a lady at all times. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of Ivanka Trump.
Yeah, I try to be.
Well, you come across that way. Yeah, I haven't met you. Well, of course, I never met you in a back alley yet either, Susan, so that could make all the difference. I don't know. But listen, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
I wouldn't want to meet a mad Susan Price in a back alley somewhere. You wouldn't want to meet that either, would you, Jim?
No, but I can tell you, Susan Price is the most charming, most fun person you ever want to meet. She is absolutely incredible, and you can talk about anything with Susan, and she is you don't have to put up any barriers or anything. You just, just let it go, right?
Yeah, we do it all the time. We do it all the time.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah. I love Jim. He's
look
one
at all
of
this
my
love.
Best buddies.
Look at all this love here, all this love this afternoon.
You know, we've worked hard. We've worked hard together, and we play hard, and we just have the best group of friends. And I'll tell you what, anybody, and Jim, as I will tell you, you don't have to put on an act with him. And he's an important man. He's done important things for our country.
We know he's important.
He's down to earth.
Why he and I, we hang around on Viewpoint and America Out Loud because he's important. Susan, we don't hang around with non-important people. Come on, Susan Price, get with it.
That's right, we don't. Yes. Oh, I know. I tell people.
All right. Well, you're important, too.
Susan is important, too. You know, when President Trump first came to Tampa, Susan and I were two of the three keynote speakers at that event. Right, Susan? Remember that?
Yes. Oh, we had so much fun, honestly.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you.
I miss my group of people.
Well, Susan lives now up in upstate New York. She's up that way.
Well, hey, not forever.
Well, all right. That's if they'll take you. That's if they'll take you. You don't know if they're going to take you.
I'll bulldoze my way there.
All right. I just want to make you aware of that. Once you leave, sometimes they don't always take you back. Listen, I want to tell everybody what Ivanka said. Let me finish that story, you two, before you go on this kissing, all this love and affection this afternoon. Come on. Let's get over it here. Here's what Ivanka says back. She says this. She says, I think it is pretty inappropriate question to ask a daughter if she believes the accusers of her father when he has affirmatively stated that there is no truth to it, says President Trump's eldest daughter and advisor about the sexual misconduct allegations. Of course, I can promise you this, friends, that will not be the last time that that question is asked to that young lady, Ivanka Trump. All right, listen. Take a few seconds here. Susan, take 30 seconds. Give us your predictions, please.
Predictions. I predict that sometime this year, Hillary Clinton and Obama will be at Gitmo. One of the two, if not both.
Gitmo. They're going to wear orange and Gitmo. Gitmo, they say, is like a luxury place, they say, Susan. We may not want to send them there. I don't know. It's what I hear.
You know, they'll be dealing with Marines, and they won't be in any
that'll be quite
jail here. But that's, you asked me.
That would be historical. That's your prediction. Okay, Jim, she's on the record now. What's your prediction, Jim?
Well, I'm gonna follow suit a little bit with what Susan said. I think we'll see very late in the year more evidence lead towards everything that's gone on with the deep state and all this with Trump and the memorandum and the FISA and unmasking. It's all going to lead back to Obama, and the person who's going to tell on Obama is going to be Hillary Clinton.
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah. That's what some have said. That's a hell of a prediction. Wow. Well, my prediction, friends, is we will be back here tomorrow again, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same time. Nozzle off.